At the end of each day, this is the thing I ask myself first, you know. Would I write myself a check for what I did?
Podcasting from Wealthwave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of Wealthwave.
You know, this is really great up here on this stage. I'll tell you, I am so impressed. I put on events at our office in Dallas, in Plano, and we have a 112-inch big screen, kind of a whiteboard, and we pipe it all in, and we sit there and we watch all this stuff, and you know what? It's better in person. I love it. Absolutely love it. Let's see here if I can find this. Just the green one? Green one and go. Let's talk about kind of I want to kind of start off with my story. Why did I come here? Where did I begin? What brought me here? What drives me here? What keeps me here? Those kinds of things. And I just want to share some things with you guys and some lessons I've learned along the way. I used to be a flight attendant for Southwest Airlines. One of the best jobs, one of the best companies that I've ever worked for, bar none. I started there in 1982. How did I start there was kind of funny because I was hired as a quota person. How many of y'all have ever been a quota person? They were sued for not hiring male flight attendants. And I was going to college. And I was in my probably third year of college and grew up in El Paso, Texas. My dad had died when he was 48 years old. I was 15 when he passed away. My employee number at Southwest Airlines was 4815. I don't know if you knew that or not. I was 22 years old, right? So that number, keep that one in the back of your mind. And as time goes on, I get hired by Southwest Airlines. I leave. I go off to Dallas, Texas. My wife now, we've been married 33 years. We were just started dating. And here I am learning how to become a flight attendant. Now I'm on an airplane. Now, what do you think the airplanes were like back then in 1987? You know, nice tails, nice airplanes, right? A lot of fun. All the girls, or I should say all the flight attendants, were in hot pants. And then we show up, right? And what do you think the pilots were thinking? What are you guys doing here? You know? I mean, we have a little fun. We had a lot of fun working for Southwest Airlines. I met tons of people. You know, we could turn an airplane in 10 minutes. And, you know, think about that nowadays. How many times have you been able to fly someplace where they got the airplane, came in, and 10 minutes later you were backing out? It's uncalled for these days, isn't it? We did that. That's one of the things I loved about Southwest Airlines was that they did things different, right? There were 37 airplanes at the end of the year that I got hired. There were 32 when I was hired. They have over 700, almost 800 airplanes now. My wife has been flying for 30 years for them. So I still belong to the family. That's kind of a cool thing because they've done some really great things for us. This is my little girl, Kelsey. This is us, I guess, she was born in 1995, so this would be somewhere around 96, the summer of 96. And you can see she's just this cute little girl and you know, you have to have your why, right? Prior to this, my wife and I were flying together. We both flew. We flew for, I would say, 10 years together with no children. And we traveled all over the place. And I never realized I was such a planner until we decided we were going to plan whether or not we were going to hopefully have a baby, right? And we had a 19-day trip that we did by car from all through England and then all through Ireland. So my daughter's name is Kelsey Alexandria because we weren't sure if it was England or Ireland. But, you know, hey, all right, ba-da-bum, right? Now I'm embarrassed, right? I should have said, and this is going to be live on, you know. But that tells you an awful lot about kind of where we were, where we were coming from, where we were headed, and I was still a flight attendant. I finished school. I went back and I finished my degree, part-time. I flew and you know, so all those types of things, and I was working on a master's in international business. And I was kind of thinking, I didn't start off to be a flight attendant. How many of y'all started off in a career that it really wasn't where you thought you were going to be, right? That was definitely me. I thought, oh, I'm going into business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I got this opportunity to say, hey, here's an easy job to get real quick, and you can get out of town, and you can travel. And I thought, sign me up, right? And then we wind up, we have this beautiful little daughter, Kelsey Alexandria. And there she is. At 22 months, so there's the 22 again. At 22 months, she was diagnosed with leukemia. Now, I normally cry through some of this kind of stuff, but I'm not going to today because I am really blessed with where she has come, where we are today as a family. And I look at that period of our lives that became one of the best things that ever happened to us. How many of y'all would think that? What happened? Well, you know, we had no control over what her health was going to be like, but we did have control over how we dealt with it, and we chose positive. You know, she's a beautiful, beautiful young woman, but this first picture here is her about, I'd say maybe a month and a half prior. The picture with her all nice and heavy, that's after about a month's full of steroids when they try to put you into remission, and you know what, they put her in remission, and she's been in remission. She's now 22 years old, going on 23, and going to school at the University of Arkansas. So, oops, now you can back that up. That's kind of the kid she really is, right? We've done a lot of travel. I joined WFG about after she finished her chemo, 2.5 years of chemo. And I looked at myself, and I was 41, and I was still a flight attendant. And I had done some extra things for the union, and I was a treasurer, and I had, you know, used some of my degree for that kind of stuff. And, you know, long story short, I was 41 years old. My wife was a flight attendant. I was a flight attendant. We just had, you know, our child go through 2.5 years of chemo, and I really didn't want to have a lifestyle to where she left town for 3 days, I left town for 3 days, and then we would just pass our child back and forth. That's like having what? It's like divorced, right? Because really, what do? How do you build your family? You always talk about how much you love your boys, right? And how much time you spend with your boys. To me, the most important thing in my life, my why, was I need to spend it with my family. So we did lots of fun things. That was in Canada. That was in Paris. And I've taken my daughter around the world because of this company, right? Because of having airline industry experience and knowing that traveling was part of our life that we wanted to do. And I want to show you some of the different things. We always took one of her friends with us, too. So she always had someone to pal around with. This is up in Lake Louise. Has anybody ever been up in Lake Louise, up in Canada? It's one of the most beautiful, picturesque places in the world. It is definitely one of those top of the list, you know, bucket list type of places. What I will tell each one of you, what I learned then is to take some time to dream. Right? Spend time dreaming about where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 20 years? Where do you want to be in 100 years? Because it is not just me that's going to live that long. It's my family. What do I want the legacy to be for my family? I've got to change that now. I'm in control of that. This is a picture of my daughter and I in Italy where we actually were able to fall off the boat inside the Blue Grotto in the island of Capri. No one gets to swim and if you have, you probably paid a little bit of money to have that happen. One of the best MasterCard moments of my life, yeah? It's one of those great things. This company has allowed me to do that, right? I didn't miss a chemo treatment. I didn't miss a volleyball game. I didn't miss any of the things for my child that was necessary for me to help her grow to become the young, beautiful woman that she is today. And there she is now, right? Is that a big why or what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Start thinking of that kind of stuff. You know what? It's so important to have all of that. But you know what really drives that? If you've got a big why, you always have to go back and remind yourself of why am I here? Why am I here helping other people? Why am I here helping you with your finances? Why do I care? Because I know that you probably have a why with your family. And you probably have a why with your family. Right? But you may not know you have control over that. When I look at this, our beliefs don't make you a better person. It's your behavior that makes you the better person. It's your behavior that gives you the results. What are your core values? Do you have confidence? Right? I had to learn to build confidence. Was I a risk taker? Absolutely a risk taker, but we don't have to take as much risk to do this. Enthusiasm, courageousness, abundance. I believe in abundance. I could believe in scarcity and know that nothing was going to take place had I not made the choices that I made, my family and I made, in order to make a change. For where were we going to go from, you know, where we were to where we are today, right? I build my business with this principle, and I want every one of you all to look at this very closely. And this, to me, is one of the most important pieces. When I have someone join my team and they come on, I ask them a few questions, and I like to make four agreements. There's a book out on this, and it's just a phenomenal book, but I want people who are here for with integrity. Do you want to build a business that has integrity? The products we use have integrity, right? As long as you use the right types of products, and our company goes through and has some of the best due diligence that there is, checking out all those products, so me as a small businessman does not have to worry about whether or not I'm selling something that's crummy for the client. Communicate clearly to your teams. Communicate clearly to your family. Don't be a victim. You should never be a victim. I wasn't a victim. My daughter wasn't a victim. We had circumstances we had to figure out how to deal with, right? And that's it. How big was the problem? You know, it was a problem. If it's a money problem, some people get a problem with money, and you know what? If you put a value on that and say, oh, that's a $5,000 problem, it's a little easier to eat it, right? Like the elephant, one toe at a time, so to speak. But always do that. So be impeccable with your word. Boy, it is dry up here. You know, it does that. Integrity is really a big key. So be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personal. It's not about you. Usually when someone is saying something, it's usually about them, right? It's usually projection. Always do your best. And don't make any assumptions. Don't assume that someone else gets it. Don't assume that when you're helping someone that they fully understand it. Ask questions, get the feedback, and go through that. I think that's almost the last slide. But life can be positive or negative. And how do you react to life-changing news? It's, I just did that. It's, you know, is it catastrophic? Will it really matter in 6 months? How big is the problem? And is money the problem? Put a price to it and make it go away, you guys. At the end of each day, this is the thing I ask myself first, you know. Would I write myself a check for what I did? Right? When I worked for Southwest Airlines, I knew how much I would make by flying a certain number of trips and all the different things that go with that. But here, when I'm my own business owner, right, you know, making that transition from being an employee to an entrepreneur, being an employee to saying I have to get up in the morning and self-start, right? And I have to ask myself at the end of each day, did I do enough to get paid? Would I write myself a check? Because there's times in the beginning of this business that I got finished with the end of the day and I'd look back and I'd ask that question and it'd be like, no, I kind of wasted it away. So sorry I got a little tongue-tied, but I will tell you the best thing that I've ever done is to actually listen to someone that said, come here, let me help you with your finances. It took him 10 appointments to get in my house, but once he did, I've never looked back. And I love where I am. I love this business. And definitely, I love the Wealth Wave. It's the best team in the whole wide world. So thanks, guys, for coming.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of Wealth Wave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast. Or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with Wealth Wave.